Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. This show is not like any other show out there. We tell the truth. No one controls what we say, and we're on a mission to expose what is going on in government on both sides of the aisle and in between. You can go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of the show, and thanks for listening in.
Remember, if anyone asks, we're a nice, normal talk show. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Weeks since President Trump ordered U.S. forces out of that region, effectively abandoning America's allies in the fight against ISIS. This video right here appearing to show Turkey's military bombing Kurd civilians in a Syrian border town. The Kurds, who fought alongside the U.S. against ISIS. Now, horrific reports of atrocities committed by Turkish-backed fighters on those very allies.
Wait until we talk about that. I cannot wait. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. So glad that you are joining me today on a Monday. And boy, do I have a show for you. Uncle Milty is not feeling well. And so we'll wish him the best today and hope he gets better soon. And I want to tell you who is with me today. This is quite a surprise because I love this guy. And I started my career with him as the person I leaned on, learned from, and was completely amazing, the Brian Hyde from Loving Liberty, the show Loving Liberty with Brian Hyde. How are you?
You know, I could just have you cut it down by saying, I corrupted you.
I own it. You changed me so much. Man.
What did she go wrong? She hung out with me and gave her all kinds of crazy ideas, and then she ran with it.
It was awesome. In fact, when I landed on your show, Brian, you were so nice. And I honestly had absolutely no understanding of anything. And I get on his show and I swear your face was almost like, oh boy, oh boy. And we had a whole first year of just crazy. It was just so crazy. And here I was trying to learn, and you were gracious enough to be there for me. So I appreciate you. And I'm
gracious
so glad you're
to argue with you. And actually it was a lot of fun though. And you have to admit, there came a point where we kind of hit our stride.
Yep.
And then it was just dishing it.
Yeah.
And taking it. And it was so much fun. So
really
thanks for including me in your empire today.
Yeah,
Kate.
My empire, right. Well, thank you, Brian. I'm so glad to have you back on. And I'll have you on this hour and the last hour. Dr. Pesta will join me in the second hour. And we're going to have a lot of fun. In fact, okay, we got to start this out. We got to rock and roll. So what the footage I just played. This is all over the news, breaking news right now. Tell us about this footage. I'm still reeling from this.
Well, there's a bit of a to-do about the 50 U.S. troops being pulled out of Syria, and apparently that was enough to tip the scales towards a Turkish-sponsored genocide, or so the narrative goes. ABC News took it one step further and showed shocking, brutal, graphic footage of this incredible massacre, or so we were told, of Kurdish civilians at the hands of Turkish military.
Right.
The only problem was it was actually footage from a machine gun shoot at Knob Creek, Kentucky, that happens every single year. And anyway, I sent you a link that shows the two videos side by side. You'll notice it's the same exact video, except in the legit footage, you can see dozens of people with their cell phones up filming it. Just the kind of thing you'd expect in a war zone, right?
I couldn't believe this. This footage is from 2017. And did you hear the guy so earnestly telling us exactly what was happening on the ground? My brain wants to implode when I hear this kind of stuff. And this goes on, I think, more than we ever realize. And you're right. The footage is exactly the same.
The danger here, and by the way, this doesn't just apply to legacy media sources. I think you'll find this even on the right-wing media sometimes. A video will be shown, and someone will be describing, here's what you're seeing. You should maintain a pretty healthy sense of skepticism, though, because sometimes what they're telling you, your brain will fill in the blanks, but it may not actually be what you're seeing.
Yes, and absolutely. And the more earnest they say it, and with all of the, you know, all of the importance that they can dictate the story to you, you walk away really believing it. And these people, I know, you know, their scripts are written from them. They have a thing called a VNR, video news release, that comes out of the Pentagon. And this is where we get our foreign footage, our foreign footage from the hills of Kentucky, no less, from 2017. And I think that it would probably blow people's minds to know that this was going on at the pace that it goes on. But they control those video news releases, and the military takes them and they sanitize them, or they, like in this case, you know, they're shoving one up from the hills of Kentucky and passing it off as news footage. And so all of that is controlled and contained. I don't think we ever really see. And I'm so glad that this came out, because it was outed, right? How did they out this?
ABC has said, oh, well, we may have made an error. The authenticity of the video has been called into question. And someone commenting, I assume it was somebody from Israel, because there was Hebrew writing on the tweet, made the comment, isn't it curious how every time you make an error, it always reflects negatively on President Trump? It never reflects positively whenever you goof up? Just a strange coincidence, I'm sure.
I love that. I love that. I'm so glad that this was outed, because the more we can out this, maybe the legitimacy of the news then would finally take the hit it deserves, and people might start turning it off. I know for me, I turn it off now. I hardly ever watch it. It's background noise if it's ever on. How about you?
I watch so little news these days, it's pathetic. And that doesn't mean that, well, I'm totally out of touch with the world and my head is buried in the sand. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't add value to my life, in other words, if it doesn't add to my understanding of the world, I'm really not interested. Now, if there's something I really want to know about, I do what you would do. Mm-hmm. I dig in and I start researching it for myself.
Right. Right. And it's, you know, it's not as hard as people think that is. I mean, it's a lot of stuff you have to sift through, and you gotta know where to look to. But I think that it's not as difficult as people think. But I think it's mandatory now. You have to have, if you're going to look at a story now, because of so much fake news, and I just call fake news mainstream media now, because of all of that, then, you know, of course, we're in a situation where you need to probably read three or four different exposés on it from different sources. Where would you go to find, you know, a different opposing view, or even, where do you think?
There are very few journalists out there that I think deserve the title of journalist.
Right.
A couple that come to mind would be John Stossel. Another one, Ben Swan, and Glenn Greenwald.
Yes,
who, if you look at him on paper, okay, this guy, he's gay. He's probably pretty left-wing. Mm-hmm. He lives in Brazil. He's an American expatriate. But the guy is so absolutely down the middle with his reporting. Whatever his political leanings are, I don't know. I just know he takes a lot of heat because he tells truths that other reporters won't.
Absolutely. You know what? You're right on that. And I actually went into looking at some of his stories with that same sort of healthy skepticism, just knowing what his politics were. But he actually does try to get to the truth. There are people out there that try, and they really need to be talked about, because they're willing to do a story. Right? Poke fun at their own side.
And not to put my tinfoil hat on, I was keeping it here close by just in case we would need it, but I think this is going to become even more critical. I know that you have heard about the deep fakes and how easy it is. Maybe you've seen some of the video examples, like Impressionists, where they can superimpose Robert De Niro's face on this Impressionist, and he's doing Robert De Niro's voice, and he looks like Robert De Niro, or he looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I think we're fast approaching a point where being able to tell reality from fiction is going to be more difficult than ever, and I mean in really destructive ways.
Oh, I think so too. And you're talking CGI. They have been on this CGI for so many decades, and I don't think we realized how long they've been working on this for. They really have.
It's so seamless. I mean, on the one hand, I'm impressed, and I'm like, that is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. On the other hand, you know, how long before, you know, some beloved, trusted public figure is shown, you know, executing a person in the streets of Soweto, or, you know, cavorting with an underage girl? I don't know. How can you trust it? if you weren't there to see it yourself.
I know. And I talked to, I did a post on Facebook over the weekend, just real briefly, and I talked about supporting media. And I know that, you know, our country, we have a lot of, let's say, blessings of opportunity over here. And we don't, I don't think we realize that in order to keep those blessings flowing, that we must shore up the truth, that we must shore up and really have a media revolution, because the media is on the front lines of changing hearts and minds, or helping them understand, or whatever the case may be. That is really the first line, and I call that the mind line, because it's more about the mind and it's more about combating propaganda. But I talked about, if people could support media like you and I, if we had that kind of support coming, do you can people even imagine what we could do with that, and what kinds of hearts and minds we could change in this country, starting with education? It's huge.
Yeah. It's, you know, I know people for a long time, myself included, I looked at the media as, wow, you know, that's your way to get famous and you get rich. And it's all about the fame and the monetary rewards. But the people who I rub shoulders with, you included, I don't think that's really the ultimate goal. That's not what motivates us. It's there's truth that needs to be told. And even if people don't want to listen, someone needs to speak it, because we can't have the excuse of, well, no one ever told us that. You know, we were being misled or deceived.
Right. And I know there's people out there that want to make a difference with helping media, make a difference with helping those that are on the front lines. And I think that that there's very few truth tellers anymore, and that we have to shore those folks up. And if we don't, what we do is if we lose that, if we get to a point where we don't have that anymore, I can't even imagine how mainstream takes hold and takes over. Right now we have, you know, we're still in America. You can still say things and you can still have that freedom on the radio. And I think that if people want to put their money into things, maybe art and all of these things, people have done that for the ages. Right now, we're in a crisis of constitution, and we have got to educate this nation on constitution. We've got also got to educate the nation on principles, and I know that's what you're good at too. You really seek to do that, and if people would get behind that, it'd be amazing.
I think it starts and ends with reclaiming character and how much character counts, because it's inseparable from all those things that you're talking about. You can't have the Constitution, you can't have a free society or a free market without character.
Yep, it's absolutely the truth. And if they helped media like this, media could actually buy a ton of airtime on different stations, right? And they could actually get their shows really heard and out there. It would be amazing.
I think I don't want to break my arm patting you and I and others like what we're doing on the back, but I think we're pioneers of a sort. The media has changed. Maybe that's something we could address, you know, when we come back.
Yeah, absolutely. And the only reason is because I don't think we were realizing how important it is as a nation. And there's a lot of causes and there's a lot of things that we could help. But I know a lot of people send money into, you know, political organizations and stuff. I'm not quite sure the dollar's going to do much. I think if people are going to do, you know, any impact at all, it's got to be where it really, really hits home. And if we could have a media revolution in this country, that would be pretty amazing. Also, when we come back, I'll come back with Brian Hyde. Loving Liberty is his show. You've got to check it out and listen to it. And it's also on podcast. Also, talk about there was a Deseret News piece. Flu is about the same as wearing a seatbelt in safety. We want to talk about that too. School RFID chips, all kinds of stuff. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Daly Show here, and you can go to katedalyradio.com, also on Twitter and Facebook. How could I forget that? The Kate Daly Show. So make sure you visit, and glad to have you. And I am so glad to have Brian Hyde, a guest today. How are you, Brian?
I am well.
Good.
I was going to say I am adequate, but You'd probably take me to task for that.
You're adequate. Yeah, I would. Love and Liberty with Brian Hyde. You've got to check out this show. And Brian and I started out in radio together, and we had a fantastic time. I had a fantastic time. I learned so much, and this is who I learned it from when I was starting out in radio. It's just really fun to have him back for today. And I'll tell you something. You've got to check out his show. A couple of things. Number one, make sure if you're in an accident, get over to St. George ABC, Auto Body Central, stgeorgebodyshop.com, stgeorgebodyshop.com. They did a killer job with my car. My car looks so nice. It just looks fantastic, and they did it quickly, and they have the best communication. They'll even come to your home. They'll even assess your car there. Whatever makes that work for you. They're that accommodating, and I really love these guys. Make sure that you go to ABC. If you get in an accident, you can choose your provider, and I don't think a lot of people realize that, and you can actually call 817-0949, and they work with your insurance companies. They are fantastic. They've been doing this for many, many years, and they're very skilled. StGeorgeBodyShop.com. Highly, highly recommend. I wanted to jump right back into this for just a moment, because now reflecting back, Brian, I've been doing this 8 years. You've been doing this 100. Just teasing.
It feels like it sometimes.
You've been doing this over 30 years. And what has changed in the last 5 years in media, TV, radio, everything else? What's changed the most in your mind?
Just the high points of the broad trends that I see. Newspapers are dead. And I say that with all love and respect for the Spectrum and Daily News. I mean, that used to be a part of my daily routine. I liked to sit down and read the comics or read the opinion page or whatever.
Sure.
But newspapers, done away with. Internet has made them obsolete. Yes, there might be a few hangers on, but trust me, it's the old folks who access newspapers. Kids don't even have a clue what they are. Television, broadcast television, is gone. Mm-hmm. YouTube has done it in. Streaming services like Hulu and Netflix have done it in. There's so much to watch that network TV, for the most part, even local TV, has taken a pretty major hit.
Yeah.
Okay, this next one's going to sting a little.
Okay.
Radio is on its way out.
Yeah.
Podcasting is doing to radio what the internet did to newspapers and what Netflix has done and YouTube has done to television.
True.
And so nothing is set in stone, even though radio's been around for a long, long time. I think we just celebrated just recently, you know, the first broadcast on KDKA in Pittsburgh. But podcasting and digital delivery platforms are taking that over. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It means that there's opportunity for those who are paying attention. But everything is shifting.
Right.
And you have to just acknowledge it's going to shift and make of it what you will.
No, it's so true. And it's over the course of time. There's a lot of personality-driven radio, and it's still hugely popular. And it will be for a while. I remember hearing 5 years ago, I remember 2 years, and 2 years is, you know, obviously. And so, you know, everybody's still there. Everybody, and those shifts take quite a while. But you're right about podcasting, because people love podcasts. And there's good reason for that, because you can do it on your own time. So I think that's a good change. I mean, it's a good thing. And then also, I think with the media, the way it is, you know, in the last 5 years, I mean, well, in 2012, with the Obama actually re-upped the Smith-Mundt Act, and it changed things. And I don't know if people really realize that that happened. We used to be able to do this to foreign soil and tell them whatever story we wanted to tell them. But now they can do it on our soil legally in propagandizing and utilizing our media against us, really. And I don't think that's as well known as I wish it was.
Wow. Well, and it all underlines what I know you have talked about for many years, and that is you've got to become a one-person truth detector.
Yep.
And that means be skeptical. You don't claim a market or, you know, the corner on the market of truth. I don't claim to have all the answers either.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that we're asking the right questions and giving people the opportunity to arrive at the truth, you know, at their own pace.
Yeah.
That's not even allowed, though, thanks to some of the social media giants and some of the tech giants. Twitter, what's the thing that's trending right now or should be trending because it's huge? It's that overlay of that video of the church massacre from The Kingsman.
Yes.
That shows Donald Trump,
yes,
you know, taking out all of the different news media and people who've been criticizing him.
Mm-hmm.
It's dark humor, to be sure. It's quite brilliantly done. But Twitter is doing everything they can to make sure that that doesn't exist. There's no such thing.
Right. I mean, it's been amazing to watch how social media now is your other footprint. I mean, it's just, in fact, the way the law enforcement looks at it, the way America looks at it, it's the war of the words. It's the war of the words. It's such a bizarre new world that we live in with that. And I don't think people realize that either. It used to be you said something or you kept your mouth shut. Now everybody is a keypad warrior. Everybody's out there saying what they want to say. And then there are people out there that think those words are actually hurting them, that they're just words, but they're hurting them. And so now we have a whole new sort of landmine, you know, minefield going on with people kind of becoming uncorked over anything and everything.
Well, I think you have probably experienced this more than most people I know, because you're a pretty bold speaker of truth. I mean, you don't just tell people things so that they'll like you. You speak things that you feel need to be said. And you catch a little blowback every now and then, don't you?
Yes. In fact, a little bit on the adoption thing that we just talked about in Utah, because I didn't demonize the guy. I just said two parties that are willing, that isn't human trafficking. That's not human smuggling. There's enough of that going on, human trafficking and human smuggling, to be an actual story that we don't need to make people into that kind of story. If you have two parties that agreed to something, that to me was not what they were. Are there things wrong with how it was done? Yeah. There's a story there, but it isn't what they're saying it is. And I thought that there was a lot of political points being scored in that story by making it overblown and exaggerated. But I do get a lot of blowback. And you do too. And I know that because you've gotten it for years, you know?
Well, and I'm to the point now, and I think I see you getting there as well, to where that's almost a good sign. You know that you're having impact when people really start to come after you. I take it as, that means that I'm obviously hitting a nerve or I'm getting close to the truth when people start to get really upset and say, you can't say those kind of things. Because I know you're not out there just trying to throw red meat or to try to, drag people through the mud. You're out there looking for truth. And when you get a little close, it makes some people nervous.
No, it really does. And I'll tell you, I think one of yours was the Iraq War, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you took a lot of heat for your stance.
That was a painful time.
That was a painful time. It was, just because I think when you're that outspoken with the whole country, and that was a tough thing for you to do, was to try and tell the truth about what was going on. People did not want to listen back then. And when the mob, I view us at the time as sort of the mob mentality, because we all felt like that. Now, it was, some of that was very genuine. I mean, we felt, of course, we felt attacked. I think that when you were standing up for that, that must have been a very difficult thing, because you did it regardless of how everybody was feeling. And you did it in a way you were trying to actually be really fantastic in the way that you were saying, look, let's really sort of dial it down and really look at this whole situation. But everybody was climbing on board. And how do you do that when your neighbors, your friends, everybody is feeling a certain way? How do you stand up?
That was a major shift for me. And I guess that would be one of those times where I learned, you know what? Sometimes if you're serious about being consistent in your principles, you're going to have to stand alone. And it sucks. And people will literally turn their backs on you in public because they're so offended that you aren't in agreement with them. But that's when my eyes came open and I realized statism comes in Republican flavor as well as progressive and Democratic flavor.
Oh, boy. And does it? Oh, my gosh. I'll never forget when we talked about on the air the seatbelt thing. And I remember way back when, in my neocon-y years, when I saw, I said to you, I'll never forget this on the air, I'll never forget your face. I said, well, we should wear them. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with the seatbelt law? And I'll never forget you looking at me and just shaking your head and going, oh my gosh, because we should be able to have the freedom to choose that, you know? And I said, yeah, but it makes you safe. Well, does it really? Does it really make you safe? And if it does, shouldn't you be able or want to choose that for yourself? And when I saw this article today, it was all about the flu and likening it to the seatbelt law. And I actually thought of you. I actually thought of you and thought, oh, my gosh, this is so reminiscent.
Am I understanding this correctly? It's comparing flu shots to putting on a seatbelt.
Yeah, to the safety of seatbelts. See, that made us all safe. And now this will, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
You ever talk to a police officer and ask them, have you ever unbuckled a dead body from a crash?
Ooh.
The ones who've been around a while, I promise you, they'll say, well, yeah, yeah.
Yes. And
just point that out. So, I mean, when somebody says, well, you know, it's not like the flu shot's ever going to harm anybody.
Yeah.
Officer, would you like to comment?
You know what? And I remember people calling in on that show, and I remember talking to you about it, and I really had to dial in on what the principle there was, and that's a big principle on a very kind of small topic. And I remember you trying to dial me back, you know, well, why can you force me, or why should you want to force me to wear one, and if I don't wear one, I get a fine from the state. And I was really mad at you. I was really angry at you. I was mad at you, because I couldn't dial it back. I could not go to the principle to which you were speaking about. And I remember I had to sit there and really think about what I was asking for in the name of safety. And it was one of the first moments where I truly had to go back to my own principles and recheck them at the door. And the reason I bring that up is that's what happens when you go through this metamorphosis of figuring out truth and coming from where we all, I think where we are all at or were at or still are at in identifying what principles are and what truth is. So I actually loved that about you, even though I was so angry I wanted to rip your face off. I was like, oh! And then I went home, and the next day I went, well, I guess you're right.
And it took me a long time to learn that, you know, because I used to like to try to beat people into, you know, don't you understand the truth?
You didn't do that. You were being really sweet about it. I had the hard time.
There was a time when that was my approach. And since then I have learned that nobody wants the truth beaten into them, including me.
Yeah.
So the most powerful thing I have discovered and put to use in the last few years has been to speak the truth, speak it with love, try to get them to ask the questions themselves, but let them come to it at their own pace. Right. And more often than not, you know, it may be months or even years down the road, they will look at it and go, you know what? I see what you were saying. Whether they agree or not, still, that's up to them.
Right.
But at least they can consider it if they don't feel like they're being forced into it.
Yes. And that's what happened with the Iraq War, too. It was the same kind of thing. It was people had to finally go over the facts and finally kind of understand what we were doing and why we were doing it. And we had to dial ourselves back a little bit. And so, you know, speaking the truth is not easy. And rechecking your principles at the door to find out what you truly believe in and what you don't believe in, and actually executing that issue by issue, this is where we need to change in America. This is the kind of metamorphosis we have to go through. And it's courtesy of, you know, just like the Syrian clip, it's courtesy of that media that keeps on doing those kinds of things to us that's making it easier for people to have that metamorphosis. Be right back. More with Love and Liberty's Brian Hyde when we come back on The Kate Daly Show. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show. But don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. But don't fence me in. Let me be by myself.
Version. I really do. That's the Killers. Don't fence me in. I love that. I love that. And it actually makes me think of Brian once in a while. So I wanted to play that. Welcome back, Brian Hyde from Love and Liberty. Brian is my guest host today, and happy to have him. We started out radio together. Milty wasn't feeling well. And I'll tell you something. It's a treat to have Brian, because there's so many directions I could go with Brian right now on the show. You have no idea. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thank you so much. Thanks for letting me hang with you.
Yeah, absolutely. This hour and the last hour, it's going to be a lot of fun. Well, we have some stuff lined up for the last hour that's pretty great. So, as well. And I wanted to mention, get over to Dr. Diet if you're trying to lose some of that stubborn belly fat, which you know you're trying to do. Find out the best way to do it. Get some help. And you can actually have a friend join in, and you can get a huge discount. Make sure you go over to Dr. Diet Wellness and take advantage of that. These guys are so good at what they do. It's how I lost weight and kept it off. And so I don't know, there wouldn't be any other place I would go. And so I tell my friends and family about Dr. Diet all the time. I think that they are fantastic, skilled. They know how to address your body type with what you should be doing to drop weight. There's just so much. And I'll tell you, what's been on my mind the last little bit, Brian, has been the need for law enforcement to take kids and start punishing them for adult crimes. That has been on my mind a lot lately, and we've just lost the ability to be able to address them as children. And I think also when we covered the TSA story last week, and they found a whole 7 guns across the whole nation with millions of people flying, and it was supposed to be
on one flyer.
Yeah, it was supposed to be this huge. huge thing. And I remember thinking, you've got to be kidding me. And Milty and I just sat here and laughed because it was 7 whole guns in people's carry-on with very low rounds of ammunition, but they made it sound like they were harboring an arsenal. And I thought, wow, we are really in trouble. We're really, really in trouble in this country and losing our perspective fast. Sad.
You know, there was a time when the law used to warn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of in the past now. Law is used to punch people as if they were going to hijack the plane. When
right.
I would bet that most, if not all, of those people who forgot their guns and brought them with them, probably just plain old, it slipped their mind and they were standing there and went, oh,
yeah,
crap,
right.
Now what?
Right. Yeah. And they made it out to be, oh, my gosh, these people were ready to hijack a plane. No plans to do such. It's your average flyer that was a concealed carry average flyer. And they made it out to be this beacon of evil. And I thought, if we're, well, the constant hits is what I'm talking about. We have all these hits on the Second Amendment all the time. And I thought, here's another one. And they're going to make it look like you just can't even fly because of all those dangerous citizens with their self-defense weapons. They're going to go off any moment in the plane. It's just sad to me.
It's melodrama, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to the people who work for the TSA, but what they're doing is security theater. And, you know, you don't interrupt an actor or an actress when they're in the middle of a scene, especially if that scene is supposed to be making you feel like, well, we're keeping you safe. We're in charge here. You must do exactly as we tell you. Don't interrupt them in the scene. Don't make them break the fourth wall and have to address you specifically, or an usher will come along and, you know, punish you for disrupting the show.
I know. And you're right. I love that. I love what you just said about the theater, because I think that if we start to really address it like such and we start to see it this way, we'll finally get that great perspective. And I know most people listening are nodding their heads and they understand. They're getting it. How do we get the rest of the country? How do we get them to see the constant barrage attack on the Second Amendment, the way, in all of the different ways that they're doing it? And sometimes it seems so sly, but it's so real. It's
well,
so
I suppose you probably heard about the 12-year-old girl, I think it was in Johnson County in Kansas, who pointed her finger at a classmate. A classmate said, hey, if you had to kill 5 people in this room, who would you kill? And she said, okay, that one, that one, that one, that one. And then she pointed it at her head, and that one. And they have charged her with a felony. They arrested her. They charged her actually with multiple felonies. And the school district, the school officials and the resource officer are making it out like, oh, this was this huge threat. And, you know, it's a very good thing that we held her to account. And, you know, now she's going to face maybe a year in juvenile detention. And it's like, you know, the biggest danger was the way you guys reacted to a simple pointed finger. It wasn't like she was posting online. And then I'm going to come after this person or this person. It was just response to a question and a silly response. But, hey, 12-year-olds can be silly sometimes.
Yeah. Are we just losing our entire perspective on what kids are about? It pains me to see how the overreaction is taking over, and it is an overreaction. And the problem is, if you point the overreaction out, then you are a puppy kicker, and you must be all for it. If you're pointing out where it crosses the line into exaggeration, then you must be a supporter of whatever that thing is. Oh, it's driving me crazy.
Yeah, I know the sanity is dwindling. Mm-hmm. So where's our little enclave, Kate? Where's Galt's Gulch, where we can at least find a little bit of rationality?
I don't know. I'm sure you have all of these aha moments on your show. I'm sure these aha moments of clarity where you just think, What can we do? Solutions. What can we do to find the common sense in all of this? And what would you say that is? I mean, you're doing radio every day like me, and you're on in the mornings. And as you cover these things, I'm sure that when they first come out in the morning, and they could even be different by the afternoon because of the way our press deals with all of these things. What has you the most, I say, most concerned out of all the headlines that you're reading on a daily basis, the stories that you're covering? What has you the most concerned that we're not seeing?
I don't know if it's the headlines so much as the people's reactions to headlines.
Okay.
The thing that has me the most concerned right now is that a majority of people appear to put so much importance on anything political to where it's like this really is the most important thing happening anywhere in the universe. And I really believe that for most of them, the only reason they're saying that is because that's all the news media, the legacy media, is talking about. And so if they shut it off, if they stepped away from it, in fact, if they walked away from social media for even just a day or two, they would be shocked at how normal the world started looking in a very short time.
Boy, it's so true. That is so true. Because I'll tell you what, just to be honest, there's some stories that I could even cover today. And the problem with it is it's one person in politics saying something. And then that story is the headline, is the talked about thing. And I mean, in stereo across the world, we have this one person who said one thing, and everybody acts like it was said to them. Everybody acts like they are the spokesperson for said thing. And that one person saying something, and it really doesn't impact or make the difference. And the only thing making the difference or the impact is the media reporting it. So I stay away from stories like that sometimes. I try to. You probably do the same thing.
I think one of the biggest things that I like to look for when I'm reading a story or if I'm seeing video or something, if it starts to elicit any sense of anger or fear from me, I stop myself right there. That's where I kind of pull on my leash and go, whoa, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Why would it be important that I feel this way about this? Because I perceive that my chain is being yanked. Someone wants me to feel scared, or they want me to feel angry.
Right.
And that means that they're trying to manipulate my feelings.
Oh, so
and
true.
I don't want to be manipulated.
So true. And you know what? A story just came up like that. And I addressed it for like a blip on Friday. And it was the story about Trump making some changes with the U.S. military and the Marines. And a lot of people were feeling, because there were some shows out there that were saying, oh, yes, something's coming in the next week. And, you know, we're all going to be
martial
law. And we're all going to be overrun. And so there's always questions. You know, I get questions in email that say, you know, are you going to jump on this story? Well, the reason I don't jump on the story is because why, Brian? So you can answer this, because I mean, I know you could probably agree. The reason I don't jump on that story is I've jumped on that story before in the past. We've talked about those kinds of things in the past. I don't want to jump anymore because there are shows out there that feed off of this, and they feed off of it in every single show. Martial law is 2 days away. Kind of episodes. I just don't want to feed into that. I don't like
it. I don't want to be enemy driven, and I don't want to be fear driven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm only speaking for myself. I'm not saying that, you know, therefore you shouldn't either. I just find that I am a happier person. I feel more well adjusted when I'm not being driven or trying to define myself by who or what I'm against.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, I'm not afraid to stand up for what I
right.
believe in, and I will make a very principled defense of what I believe is important,
mm-hmm.
but I want to do it from a standpoint of this is what I stand for, more so than here is what I'm against, or here's who I'm against.
Oh, I like that. I do. I love that principle. And I know that with these kinds of stories, it would be really easy for me to do that. It'd be easy to get on, and you too. It'd be easy to get on, and boy, you get a crowd, and of course, people want to tune in. I mean, what's happening next week? But I've really learned through the years that you need to take it with a grain of salt. You need to step back a little bit. You need to sort of reexamine and look at all kinds of different pieces on it before we jump to these hardcore conclusions that the world is ending in a week. And I really don't think it is. So I have a hard time. Yeah.
Tell me if you've ever had to do this. Have you ever had to walk something back? Because
yeah.
you jumped on it with
yep.
both feet and then suddenly
yep.
realized, oh, crap.
Yep.
Oh, crap. I only had partial information. I've done it more times than I care to admit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when something big comes out and everybody's abuzz about it, I tend to step back a little bit and go, okay, what do I really know about this?
Right.
That wasn't told to me by someone else. What do I actually know for myself that I've been able to research out? And most often the answer is not much. So I like to kind of sit back and withhold judgment until I have a little bit stronger sense of what's going on. The Covington High School kids would be a really good example.
Yes.
You know, oh, did you see those kids attacking that Native American? Oh, those racist little Trump supporters. And, you know, there was such a buzz. And then suddenly, wait a minute, they weren't the aggressors. You see the video that came out, and it's like, they were actually the victims and were holding up pretty well under immense pressure from adults who should have known better.
Oh, my gosh. So true. So true. And I think this about politicians, too. So, you know, I've got to get your take on Trump. What's your take on Trump? If we were sitting at lunch, what would you tell me? What's your take?
He's not the monster that we were told he was going to be.
Yep.
I mean, I say that as someone, I did not vote for him in 2016. I didn't vote for Hillary either. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like either one of them met the minimum threshold of principles that I could lend my vote for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's brash. He's egotistical. I mean, he's a flawed human being. And I'm not saying this because it's obligatory to put him down. I'm just acknowledging he's fallible in some very public ways. However, the people whom he is frustrating are exactly the people I love to see frustrated, and I'm grateful to him for the things that he has done right. His speech before the UN, back when Greta was doing her "How dare you?" speech, Trump was saying some things that I don't think I've heard come out of a president's mouth, at least the way that they were said, since probably Ronald Reagan's presidency. Yeah. And that was pretty refreshing.
Yeah, it was pretty fantastic. And I know what you're talking about, that speech. And I love that he is up against all of that. And I don't know. I held out. Same kind of thing. I wanted to hold out and just kind of see where it landed a little bit more before I made up my mind on Trump. And I'm still open to some of the things. I don't like, I'll call it the North American Union Treaty. I don't like that. I don't like that. There's a couple of things I've been really vocal about. But I always applaud when he goes up against those forces, because you know what? We've had too many presidents bought and sold by those same forces. And it is really nice.
You know, I'm a big fan of the book, The Fourth Turning.
Yes.
And one of the generational archetypes that appears during times of crisis is what's called a gray champion. Winston Churchill was a gray champion. Ben Franklin was a gray champion. Abraham Lincoln was a gray champion.
Sure.
So you can see it's not always a good thing, but the gray champion is the decisive leader who can lead through extremely critical times and sometimes it turns out good, sometimes not so good. I think Donald Trump is very likely the great champion of the turning that we are going through currently.
I do, too. I do, too. I can totally identify with that. I think there's probably a lot of people out there nodding their heads. I mean, you can pick them apart constitutionally, but I don't think that's the role. I don't really compare that with him just because I know he doesn't have that under his belt like maybe a Ron Paul would, right? But you have a situation where you have somebody that's in that right place fighting the way that he can only do it. Against those direct forces, and I like that, and I like how he does it too. I think it's funny, actually, comical, but I love it. I think it's great, and it's needed, right? It's shining
Absolutely.
A lot of light. It's shining a lot
he's,
of light.
He's not going to save us, or he's not going to save the country. Mm-hmm. But he's—I don't think he's doing the harm to it that Hillary would have done had she succeeded in getting the presidency.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really glad. Thank you for that. Thank you for that point of view, because I think a lot of people probably wonder, what's your take on Trump? I think a lot of people have that question. And I'm glad to hear that. I think that we try to do the fair shake on the show and your show. And I think you try to look at things with a healthy perspective. And that's what we can do. That's what we should all be doing. And I think it's great. I'm going to come back with Dr. Pesta, and then I'm going to come back again with Brian. So Brian Hyde from Love and Liberty, listen to his show. It's fantastic. Thanks again, Brian. I'll see you back here in an hour.
Thank you.
It'll be a lot of fun. All right. I'll be right back with Dr. Pesta. Do not go anywhere. Thank you for listening to The Kate Daly Show. You can go to The Kate Daly Show on Facebook, The Kate Daly Show on Twitter. Happy to see you there. And also message me. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at kate@katedalyradio.com. Go to katedalyradio.com for more podcasts of our live show.